Before I was born, the Lord appointed me. He made me his servant to bring back his people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Great is the servant of God. Great is the servant of God. Again, I welcome all of you to service this morning. Today, we will be studying Isaiah's description of the servant of God. The Lord uses the term servant in a manner far different from how the world views this word. The Creator came in humility to serve his creation. By all outward appearances, Jesus came in great humility. Although too many still deny Jesus' divinity, but Jesus' very name reveals his greatness. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The word great and the word servant are not often combined. In several ways, we learn God's truth about his Son, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, through him, eternity is revealed. In him, a Savior is rejected. Thirdly, through him, mankind is redeemed. And in explaining these three dynamics, we will bring the service or the message to an end. Through him, eternity is revealed. In verse 1 of Isaiah, these words of God written by Isaiah are meant for all people throughout the world. The servant was named. He was known and called by name, and also called by the Lord. Before his earthly birth, remember, Jesus, a servant of God, was still God's son. He was God. His divinity was hidden in his human flesh. From eternity, God's divine purpose was determined. A servant would be needed for mankind. The servant Jesus was kept safe as an arrow in the quiver, in God's quiver. His words were sharp. His words were true. And Jesus revealed eternity to mankind because of God's purpose for his people. From the very time that man sinned in the Garden of Eden, God chose his eternal Son to be the servant. And Jesus' life, his death, and resurrection reveals God's eternal promise made, his eternal promise kept, and his eternal promise fulfilled. The very words of Jesus were also the eternal words of God brought to life. Scripture reveals his eternal truth. Man sins. God's law reveals the wickedness we try to cover. For the word of God is living and active. The word of God is sharper than double-edged knife. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of mankind. You see, God's word is eternal. God's word is true. God's word doth judge. It does. Even in his humanity, Jesus was still intimately connected to eternity. As children of God, we are also connected to eternity. Our lives are not just a matter of chance. God in his infinite wisdom, God in his mercy and love has laid out all our steps one by one. All the steps of our lives. God has chosen the best for us, and always, at times, we make the wrong choice. God's eternal purpose is still there to comfort each of us, to guide each of us, and to still restore each of us, even when we fall apart. At times, we make the wrong choice. And he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. By grace, we live in the light of the knowledge of God's word. And as God's chosen people, Jesus' words are life, and they reveal God's eternity and purpose for us. And it was in Jesus that a Savior was rejected. God's promise in his servant is to display the splendor and his glory. The words are the humanity of Jesus speaking to us. In flesh, Jesus tested man's feeling. Jesus' human side saw disappointment. Yes, Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. All of these events weighed heavily upon the heart, the fragile heart of Jesus. But he did not give up. No, he didn't. In the midst of rejection, Jesus turned the purpose and the outcome to God's hand. He knows the purpose. The servant, God's son, our Savior, faced and endured the rejection of the world. Jesus did it for us. At times, we may feel disappointment in our lives. We may feel forgotten or forsaken. Our lives are filled with difficulties that can seem to overwhelm us. In such moments, all we need to do is to focus on God. When we focus on God, we learn from his example. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. In our uncaring and selfish world, God cares for us. And he still cares for us. He does care for you. He knows you better than you know yourself. It is important for us to always remember that our loving God makes everything work out for our good. Our Heavenly Father uses his power to protect and to preserve his followers against the evil at work in this wicked world. God's love holds us fast, and he holds us in the shadow of his own hand. In chapter 8 of the book of Romans, there is a long list of enemies that will try to separate us from the love of God. But they cannot. They cannot do that. Because what then can we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus is the Savior. Our Savior is rejected by man. But in all this, in him, humanity is redeemed. And Isaiah now reminds us, his hearers, that those words are not his, but they are the words of the Lord. In verse 5, the Lord our God is the one who created the servant in the womb of his own mother. The Lord God strengthens and honors his servant. Even in the midst of man's rejection, God's servant will be the light of all nations, even to the ends of the earth. Yes, mankind is redeemed back by the work of the servant of the Lord. There is no other way for mankind to be saved. Redemption means salvation. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that is lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. God's forgiveness is showered upon us with divine wisdom. We, ordinarily human, we like to get revenge and get even with those who do us wrong. But God's wisdom forgives our sins against him. It is a miracle that any will be able to believe in the work of the servant of God to save them. This is God's grace. Indeed, it is undeserved love. In love, God calls us, his people, out of darkness to sit in the light of the knowledge of salvation. Miracle of miracles is the fact that the work of the servants of God is meant for all mankind. It is an inclusive act for all, not just for a chosen few. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is the atoning sacrifice of God for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole wide world. But sadly, not everyone knows or believes in God's free forgiveness. This does not take away from the fact that Jesus still paid the price for the sins of the whole world. In humility, Jesus came as a servant of the Lord to give all glory to his Father in heaven. No wonder Isaiah connects the words great, glory, and splendor with the word servant. Great is the servant of the Lord, who by his life and teachings revealed eternity to mankind. Great is the servant of the Lord, who came as a perfect Savior. This perfect Savior was rejected. By the rejection of God's servant, his Son, our Savior, our sins were taken away. Indeed, great is the servant of the Lord because mankind is redeemed. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Jesus didn't wait for people to come to him. He went out and found them himself. He had all the answers and could have sat down and waited for the curious to come and have their needs met. And their sins forgiven. But no, he didn't go that way. But he looked around. The good news is this, that the salvation of mankind has come to us, sent down from God from above. This is exactly what Jesus calls us to do. To look out. To go out and to be fishers of men. Mr. Wesley, at the age of 87, in a letter to Alexandra Matter, uttered these thrilling words, and he said, I quote, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin, and desire nothing but God. I care not a straw whether they are clergymen or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth." Unquote. Jesus calls on us, each of us, to follow him. And he says, follow me. He calls us to be his disciples. He calls us to be shakers and movers of the world. And what a calling it is. For it is in his calling that he gives us meaning and purpose. With that meaning and purpose, our lives become brilliant, colorful, exciting, and sparkling. All because of Jesus. Will you today follow Jesus? Will you today follow his example? The example of the servants of God. Would you today, like John and Andrew and Philip, would you today point others to Jesus? He calls us. He calls you. He calls me. He calls all of us to follow him. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, our power is faint and low till we have learned to serve. It is the needed, it wants the needed fire to glow. Give us this fire, Lord. Quicken our hearts. Empower us that we may follow you. This we pray in Christ Jesus. Amen.